The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
Party people, what is... good. Danny Bietti here, your host, along with my co-host, as always, my friend, Will Middlebrooks, the World Series champion. What's good, Will Middlebrooks?
Every week I laugh harder and harder at your intro.
I gotta keep it fresh. Like, I can't just say what's good.
It's pretty funny. No, I get it. You gotta do something, but it just every week I'm like, I'm not gonna laugh. I love Danny. I'm not laughing at you. Yeah, I am laughing at you. It's funny, but it's who you are and it's who we are. And we're going to have some fun today.
For the longest time, my legacy was wearing a diaper around the state capitol building. And so I am I'm trying to change that. I want something new. I want a new aura.
And this is it. Okay.
This is it. Yeah. So we're going to do a mailbag session today. And we also have, along with the mailbag session, we're going to have Padres general manager AJ Preller joining the show, which is I'm pumped for, because this guy has been really at the forefront of everything that's gone on this offseason.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know what is going on in San Diego, because they're doing all the right moves. They're making all the right decisions. AJ is going to tell us how that process is going. So that's, I'm pumped for that one. As for news in Major League Baseball, Cactus League asked Major League Baseball to possibly suspend spring training, or at least the start of spring training.
Oh boy.
It's a bit complicated for more reasons than one. And you can probably explain that a little bit better than me.
I am just confused a little bit by it. I know where we're at as a country right now with the pandemic and the numbers and all that, but the Coyotes are having games and they have fans. They're indoors. The basketball team has limited fans there, I believe. They're in Phoenix. So why can't you just do it with no fans? You don't have to suspend the season. I don't know. I try not to go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories in baseball. And you know, I'm very pro player. Like, are they trying to delay the season until there's more vaccines so you can have more fans, which is more revenue, which means they're not paying the players out of their own pockets as much? Like, I don't know. Don't call me crazy. I know I'm a little crazy, but I don't know. Something just seems weird with it because other teams are playing there. So just do it with no fans. Right? Am I completely nuts for thinking this way?
No, you're not. You're not crazy. That's why it gets complicated. And we could, you mentioned that. We could talk about COVID all day. There's double standards involved. And hey, I'm not the guy that's going to stand up here and say COVID's not a real thing. It's a real freaking thing. I'm not
right.
The guy. But there are some complicated issues at hand. And one of those is now coming to the forefront with Major League Baseball. Jeff Passan did say, look, this isn't going to affect ESPN. Did say that it's not going to affect the start of spring training. Everyone's saying right now, Ken Rosenthal tweeted this too, that spring training's probably going to start on time. So this might just be a little bit of a bump in the road, a little bit of a scare. Another scare in Major League Baseball that people really want answers to is no universal DH. The owners and the MLBPA did not come to agreement on universal DH. And we'll
shocking, talk about, right?
Well, it's just going on too long. I mean, the season's a couple months away, and
look, there's a whole lot of different variables here at play. Universal DH, I honestly think both sides want it. There's going to be a bargaining chip with the new CBA coming up after the season, which pray to God it's not a mess, but it looks like the negotiations are going to be ugly. Hopefully not. We'll see. But it just, having the universal DH, I think, just somewhat changes teams' payrolls a little bit, because, you know, and I tweeted that it adds a job. It doesn't exactly add a job. It just changes a job. So you're not going to, most teams are going to bring in a bopper for that, or use a bopper, a guy that slugs, hits for power. That tends to fit the shape of a DH. So that guy is normally like Nelson Cruz, these guys, Ozuna, like these guys who are on the free agent market right now who haven't signed. There's some NL teams waiting for them to pull the, you know, the not the plug, but hit the switch and say, we're going to have a DH in the NL, and then those guys are going to sign most likely.
Which is a big reason why the free agency market is moving so slow. Because if I'm Nelson Cruz, I'm waiting to see how many offers are on the table, because he might get a little bit more money if he waits a little longer.
No, for sure. And part of this decision and the negotiations is because the owner said, we'll give you the universal DH if we can have expanded playoffs. And the players turned it down because you bring in expanded playoffs, now free agency teams aren't going to be as aggressive to be as good. So they're not going to overpay for players to bring them, to get them extra wins, when you can possibly make the playoffs with a 500 record. We saw it last year with the Astros. Like, teams limped into the postseason because of the expanded system. You don't have to go out and spend the big bucks to get in the playoffs. You just have to be hot at the right time to go deep into the playoffs and have good pitching. Really?
Nationals.
So that's another reason the union turned it down, because it's going to affect the way guys are paid in the free agent market.
I think it just sucks for fans, because it seems like baseball fans, not only are they losing, not only is Major League Baseball losing touch with their fans, you know, we could talk about blackout games, we could talk about all kinds of different things. It seems like fans talk as much about stuff outside of the game as they do stuff within the game. You don't see that with the NBA, NFL. We're talking about things that happen in a game, you know, NFL playoffs. We're talking about how Matt LaFleur shouldn't have kicked the field goal. We're talking about in-game stuff. Whereas baseball fans, it seems like half the time we're constantly saying, oh, why did Manfred do this? Why is Major League Baseball deciding not to do the universal DH? And this is bad. This is what we mean by it's bad for baseball. We don't talk about the game enough. We talk about everything that happens behind those closed doors, because there's no transparency.
Right.
And we don't hold anybody accountable in this league. And this is why, this is everything that's wrong with baseball, or everything that's going wrong with baseball, at least recently.
Well, the union and the owners use social media against each other. That's why you hear everything, and you don't hear it with the other sports, with CBA negotiations and all that. So, like I said, hopefully this CBA, we get through it. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't turn too many people away from the game, because we saw how players versus owners before last season with COVID and all that turned a lot of people off the game. So hopefully they, you know, I said this yesterday to my wife, and everyone's looking out for themselves. Players are looking out for the players, owners looking out for the owners, but who's looking out for the good of the game? That, no one. Everybody's looking for more money in their pocket. It's pushing people away from the game. And at the end of the day, that means less revenue for everyone.
Yeah.
So they need to figure this out and figure it out quick, because I'm getting sick of it.
I couldn't agree more. So we mentioned we're going to have a mailbag day. We asked you all on social media what questions you guys had for us. And thank you to all those who did submit questions on Twitter. We're going to answer as many of those as we can. Of course, I mentioned we're going to have AJ Preller coming up in about 10, 15 minutes here too. So got a lot of action for you today. Let's start it off with this one here. Who is your favorite guest? This was submitted by one of our Twitter users. Who is your favorite guest so far on this show?
Oh boy. Can I give you two?
Fine. It's 2021. You get a participation trophy. You get however many you want, Brooksy.
Well, there's two because they're two different. Okay. I have Marcus Stroman, who was so insightful on his training regimen and how he goes about his business in the off season. Even like gave us a little view into his mind and his just the way he views himself as a pitcher. And it's, you don't have many opportunities. You get to tap into some of the best pitchers in the league, into their mind and how they go about their business. So that was cool. And then Ken Rosenthal, I mean, arguably the best reporter of baseball. He's a goat when it comes to reporting baseball and reporting news. And he made time for us and he came on and talked about Hall of Fame voting and where it's at and how he, you know, he's contemplating maybe not even voting anymore, which I thought was like, that kind of blew my mind because it's an honor, like he said, to be able to vote, but with social media and the backlash for your votes, he's just sick of it. I just thought that was a really interesting conversation. We've had a lot of really good guests, but those are my two favorites.
I like those selections. I really liked Chris Rose for more reasons than one. I'm not going to make him my favorite though, just because I'm kind of a fanboy when it comes to players. And so I have to pick a player. I really liked talking with Justin Upton. Yeah. When he told us that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest, he didn't say greatest, the quote, most talented player he's ever seen, that blew my mind. Yeah. And I've heard different stories about J-Up. I've heard he's a good dude. I heard he does a lot of things for his community, everything in between. And I never got to meet him. When I got to meet him and we had that conversation with him, I got to know Justin Upton the person. That guy's a better person than he is a player. And that was cool. 100%.
Side note, Justin Upton was in my wedding party. I think you know that, but our viewers don't. Very close friend of mine. We played together in San Diego, got super close. Our wives got close. So he came on the show not because he was excited to talk to us, but because I made him and he's one of my buddies. But yeah, he gave us some really cool stuff. And that was a fun interview for sure.
We're better for it. So another question that this one's going to really surprise you. Who would have thought of this outrageous, crazy question? Where's Trevor Bauer going to go? What a wild question that is. Nobody's asking this question.
I got it narrowed down. I think the whole world has it narrowed down. Well, maybe not. I'm saying the Angels or the Mets. I think the Mets are just, Steve Cohen's going for it right here, right now. He's not necessarily planning too far down the road other than the next 2 years. I could see him landing Bauer. Mm-hmm. They have enough cap space, I feel like, to make it happen. I can't imagine him in that rotation, especially with a healthy Syndergaard, DeGrom, Stroman. The list goes on and on of how good they are. So if they add Bauer, they're automatically like World Series, I don't know, favorites, but they're in the top three probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You could make the case that they're definitely the favorite in the NL East, even over Atlanta, even though Atlanta was able to add Charlie Morton. Because
I would like him go to the Angels though. From day one, I've been saying the Angels are my pick. But and so the reasoning behind that is he's a Cali boy, right?
Bauer, he's from LA.
Yeah, he went to UCLA. When we had his agent, Rachel Luba, on, she said his main reason for picking a place to play is his own happiness, which mm-hmm. that I keep hearing that in my head. Why would you not want to play at home with a lineup like that, with run support like that? I understand the Mets and they're hot right now. The Padres, they're hot right now. They're going to win right now. I don't know if the Angels are going to have enough other pitching outside of Bauer to be contenders. They have the offense. Their offense has one of the highest ceilings in the league. You add Bauer, obviously they're a lot better, but he only plays every fifth day. Mm-hmm. So if they added, you know, maybe one more good arm, then maybe that persuades him to go that way. But right now I think he wants to go to the Mets.
Yeah, I can really see it go either way. And keep in mind, this is strictly speculation because we've talked with, you mentioned, we talked with Rachel, we've talked with Ken Rosenthal, we've talked with anyone you could possibly talk to within this business. Nobody knows where Trevor Bauer is going besides Trevor Bauer.
Does he even know yet?
I think he does. I think he's.
I think he's still like he loves eating up like the offers and people wanting him. And I mean, that's the beauty of being one of the best players at your position and being.
He's earned it,
I guess.
He's earned it. I would love to see him in Los Angeles. I'm right there with you. And by Los Angeles, I mean the Angels. I should make that note because the Dodgers are supposedly in the mix now too. Good. I'd love to see him in Los Angeles. I've been trying to get Mike Trout to the playoffs for years now. That would certainly help that that whole case. They did add Jose Quintana, which is a good start for their rotation. Sure. Really good lefty arm.
Get back to what he was, absolutely.
So if you had Trevor Bauer in there.
Quintana gets that sinker, hard slider, very good changeup going. Mm-hmm. It's all about control for him and health. Because he's not going to blow your doors off. He's going to pitch probably 93. And just miss barrels. That's how he's going to do so. This isn't about Jose Quintana. Sorry, I could just start talking about pitching repertoire right now.
It's quite okay. I forgive you. Our next one. This one's probably more for you because it's a Red Sox question, and you were a Red Sox. For those that know, Will Middlebrooks was a Boston Red Sox. If you didn't, right behind him, those jerseys that he's pointing at. What do you think so far of the Red Sox moves? They've added Hunter Renfroe. They just made the deal for Adam Ottavino. They added Kike Hernandez. So minor moves. What are your initial thoughts on the Red Sox?
Minor moves. Yeah. I'm a little confused by Bloom. I can't decide. I don't know if he knows which direction he wants to go. Do you want to rebuild? Do you want to compete? I think he's leaning more towards, building the system. I like the Ottavino move in taking on the money. I think ended up being like 11 million. Is that right? 10 and a half because of the signing bonus plus the salary, the salary.
It's
of
eight. Around there.
I don't know. It's at least $8 million.
Yeah.
Which they can handle right now, but they're going to trade him. All right.
If they're not competing,
they did not get him. Like I think he's going to be a closer because that gives him more value at the trade deadline because contenders need shut down players. If he's a closer for the Red Sox, that gives him more value. Even if another team wants to put him as an eighth inning setup guy, it still gives him more value for trade and they can flip him for a couple good prospects, which Chaim Bloom is all about, is building a system. We saw that in Tampa. So I think that's a good move. Kike, I think he's going to be a stud getting to play every single day because he was a stud and he was a backup. He was a utility player. And I think he's going to have a chance to play every day in Boston. I think he's going to have a chance to play second base every day. He's an exciting player. There's not a moment too big for him. He's exciting. He's got personality. And the Boston fans are going to love him if he plays well. And then the Garrett Richards, I like that. He was on our underrated list of pitchers. He leads the league in spin rate, which is a big deal.
Love me, Garrett.
Because once you start spinning the ball, that means you're getting more break. It means your fastball has more ride through the top of the zone, which in the launch angle era that we're in right now, you want to miss bats at the top of the zone because everyone's trying to swing up. So you go 95 plus with high spin rate on a four-seam fastball, you got a really good chance of swing and miss at the top of the zone. So I like Garrett Richards a lot. I faced him. He's got good stuff. I like where he was at with the Padres. He looks really good. I think he's going to be a good addition to that team as well.
Yeah, it's just about health. We've talked about this before on the show. Yep. Garrett Richards. You mentioned spin rate. That leads me into my next question.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so we talked about a little bit before, especially offline, but what are your thoughts on pitchers being able to use grips or substances out on the mound? Because it's really complicated.
It is very complicated because as a hitter, when it's in New York in April, it's still going to be 30, 40 degrees at times. That makes it really hard to grip a baseball. As hard as they are now and as low as the seams are now, I don't want to get hit in the neck with 98 or the face, this region. All right.
Where you make your money.
It doesn't feel very good. It doesn't feel good to get hit in the butt with 98, much less, your face. So I'm all about guys having something to grip the baseball, especially whether it's sweat, whether it's cold, whatever hurts your grip on the baseball. I want you to have a little bit of grip. But I've talked to some pitchers about this. I'm not going to put any names with it because that's not who I am. I'm not throwing guys under the bus. I had pitchers tell me it's not about control, which kind of blew my mind because I thought, you know what? If it's about control, I'm all for it. I'm on board with it. Look, control means you're throwing the ball over the plate. It means I can hit it. All right. He told me that wasn't the case. He said you could get 200 to 400 more RPMs on your pitches, on your fastball with a certain amount of stickum.
So spin.
Spin. So now I got to thinking, wow, if that's the case, like this is an issue because like I just said about spin rate on fastballs at a four seam at the top of the zone, you add 300 RPMs to that. That is now a foul ball or a swing and miss. You take away the RPMs. Maybe it's a homer. Maybe it's a double. It's a big difference in 200 to 400 mile or RPM.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate. Hitters are allowed to use pine tar. Hitters are allowed to use batting gloves. Why aren't pitchers allowed to use something out there on the mound?
Like I said, if it's control, that's fine. But if it allows you to manipulate the baseball more, that I feel like that's an unfair advantage. Me having pine tar on the bat doesn't help me hit the ball better. It helps me from throwing the bat in the stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my thing with this, with the substance thing is people overdo it. Certain pitchers, the Pineda thing, we were talking about this online. You were part of that game when Pineda had all the pine tar.
Yeah, like a full rack of pine tar on his neck, dude. That was awful.
Some people abuse the rule. And I don't. And the problem is that some umpires don't always enforce it. So I think what you need to do, what Major League Baseball needs to do, is you have certain substances, that are allowed. However you want to determine what's allowed, what's not allowed, you figure that out. And you have to enforce the rule. And so when you see someone with pine tar, bye. See you later.
All right. Guys aren't going to really use pine tar. Pine tar is not really like what guys go to anymore because the color is different. So you can see it. So guys, the main thing guys use, which I think is okay, rosin mixed with bullfrog or sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
You see like guys have like white marks on their arms.
Yep.
And they always go to their arm and touch their arm. And I always put the rosin on their forearm. Well, they have sunscreen on that as well. And that makes a really sticky substance. It's not super sticky. It's not the like really sticky stuff that a lot of guys use. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with you having a little bit of control and grip. That's cool. The issue with them saying you can use this, but not that. How are you going to police it?
Mm-hmm.
You saw the thing with Bubba Harkins. The clubhouse manager for the Angels that was making his special substance for the players or whatever, like that's not bullfrog and rosin. I don't know what it is, but obviously that was too far, but how are you going to police that? You can't. So if you even give them an inch on that and say, oh yeah, like you can use something, guys are going to go far and beyond to get more out of it. That's baseball. That's professional sports. Guys are always going to try to get a leg up.
Agreed. I think if you provide something, it's kind of like we're getting a little dicey here. It's almost like drugs. If you give them an alternative, maybe they'll stop doing the really hard stuff. You know what I mean?
So it's like giving like some type of like mental clarity medicine instead of guys taking Adderall.
Yeah.
Or just, like some type of lesser.
Yes.
I don't know.
And make it to where it's freaking pink. So you know if they're going to their arm, if they're not going to their arm and their arm's not pink, they're not using the approved stuff.
Is that a Rolex, Danny?
This podcast doesn't pay me enough to buy a Rolex. All right, last one for it. I didn't play in the pros like you, Will.
I did just a little bit. I tricked them for a few years.
Who are your breakout players? This is the last one. We'll get to AJ Preller. Breakout players in 2021. What's your breakout hitter, breakout pitcher?
Oof. I'm thinking. I'm going to go. Well, okay, you brought the Red Sox. I'm going to go. Let me think about the Red Sox. Bobby Dalbec. First baseman, third baseman. Originally a third baseman. Stupid, stupid pop. Like crazy pop. I hit with this kid. I was training in Scottsdale and he came in the cage with us when it was like after his first full year of pro ball, he, you know, got drafted, he played at Arizona and I hit in the cage with him and just a beautiful swing. Like, this was when people were just starting to talk about launch angle and getting on plane with the baseball, and he just naturally does that. Mm-hmm. And I love his swing. And I tell you, the ball, it sounds like a gunshot when he hits the baseball in the cage. It is awesome. So he had a lot of swing and miss last year. He struck out at like 40% there for a little bit. But that was just a learning curve to the big leagues, honestly. I think he's going to be just fine. He's a really good hitter. His last 2 years in the minor leagues, he hit 59 or 60 homers total. Just a good player. And I think he's going to be a good defender at first base, too. It's a natural third baseman. All right. They have Devers over there. And I think he'll play a lot of his – I think Bobby will play most of his innings at first base, and that's a really athletic first baseman. I've played third. I've played first. I loved playing first base. It felt easy to me. You don't have to catch the ball and throw it. You just got to knock it down and tag the bag or flip it to the pitcher. It's not that big of a deal. It almost felt like a day off mentally for me. So I think that's going to help him at the plate when he's spending a lot of time at first base. As far as pitchers go, I'm going to go to the Nationals, Joe Ross.
Okay.
He sat out last year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have a very, very fresh arm. I don't think it's going to affect him that he missed a year. I think it's going to be good for him. Kind of clean it out mentally, clean it out physically, get in really good shape. You know, he's still been throwing. I'm buddies with his brother, Tyson Ross, who I played with. That was my dog. He said hello. I don't know if you could hear that right outside my door. But I love his arsenal. You know, he's going to pitch it 94, 95, 93 to 95. He's got some good sink. He's got a hard slider. Just like one of his teammates, Max Scherzer. Ever heard of him? He's been sitting on the bench watching baseball games with Max Scherzer, Strasburg, Anibal Sanchez, like all these studs who've been around the game for a long time. So he just sits there and soaks it all up because this is a really smart kid. Mm. I've talked to Tyson about him. He loves to learn the game. He loves to get better. And I think he breaks out this year.
I like those two picks. I do. I'm gonna start with pitching first. I'm going to go with Michael Lorenzen of the Cincinnati Reds, because if they're going into a new direction, obviously Bauer's probably leaving. He's going to be on his way out. There have been certain pitchers from Cincinnati that have been floated in trade rumors from Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo. That's going to open up a spot for Michael Lorenzen. He's been working with Derek Johnson, you know, the ex-Vandy pitching coach turned Major League Baseball coach. He's supposed to be the guy when it comes to pitching.
We had him in Milwaukee. The guy's a stud.
And Lorenzen's been working with him. I've been watching his workouts on Instagram. Dude's working his tail off. So I got Michael Lorenzen. He's going to figure it all out in 2021. That's my breakout candidate.
And how many homers does he hit?
He's not cool. If there's a universal DH, probably not too many, but
I could see him playing some outfield and DH and pinch hitting. He did, dude. He can hit. And he's got the biggest biceps in the league, dude. He's jacked. All right, moving on.
Yeah. Dude, don't interject me again, Will.
I'm sorry.
Last one is, or not last one, but my breakout hitter, Ha-Seong Kim of the Padres.
That's how
I'm going to transition into our conversation, because we're going to talk to Padres general manager, the general manager for Ha-Seong Kim, coming up next on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We're joined by San Diego Padres general manager, AJ Preller, who's been at the forefront of it all throughout this free agency process, this whole offseason. Padres are making moves. Let me start by asking you this, AJ. How awesome is it? Because Will played in San Diego. I lived in San Diego. We know how hard times have been in San Diego baseball-wise. You've been at the forefront of this entire evolution and transformation of that franchise. How special is it for you to be the leader of bringing baseball back to San Diego?
I mean, I think you guys know San Diego's a, you know, it's a, obviously it's a great baseball city. It's a great city in general, but you know, it's you know, the only major sports team in town is the Padres. Southern California, you know, pretty much the baseball mecca right now. I think, you know, baseball crazy. And I think we saw it a little bit even last year, even without the fans being able to be at the ballpark, you know, winning that series against the Cardinals in the playoffs, the Gas Lamp District was going crazy. I mean, the fans have been waiting for this for a long time and they're hungry. You know, they've been the World Series Padres, you know, 84-98, you know, but in general, I think they're really excited about the team. It's just fun to see a fan base that's really baseball crazy in the region that's baseball crazy, getting really excited about their team.
Yeah, so we can rewind back to 2015 when I was there, and I was a very, very small piece of revamping that ball club back in 2015. We brought in Matt Kemp and Justin Upton and Shields, Derek Norris, all these players to rebuild that team. I think my biggest question is going into 2021, what did you take away from that year? Because we didn't have the most success. Clearly, and coming into this year, as loaded as you are, did you take anything from 2015 as a GM to help you moving forward this year?
Yeah, each situation is different. I think 2015 was a lot different. I think, you know, in 2015, we had a situation where we had Andrew Cashner, Tyson Ross, Ian Kennedy. We had three, you know, established starters. And honestly, I think the initial game plan was to look at potentially moving those guys. And when we talked to other teams about them, they didn't really have the market that we thought would have made sense for us to move them. So we saw some deals that we looked up and said, you know what, like, you know, in general, let's try to take a shot with you know, in the near term to contend. And let's see if we can make some trades for some now big league ready pieces that were very talented. You know, and ultimately, you know, like you said, the pieces didn't quite fit together. We had a lot of holes on the club. You know, I think the biggest thing is like the foundation for like what will be successful teams year in, year out wasn't really built. So I think we were trying to take a shot in the short term to be competitive. But the game plan from day one, me getting this job, I think, you know, bringing our staff in place was you got to have a strong farm system. You got to have a ton of talent in the organization. You got to have that foundation in place. So whatever happened in 2015 in terms of the success of the big league club, and I think we were obviously hoping to, you know, play in the postseason and have a successful club, and we felt like we were talented. We knew the heavy lifting was going to be done in the out years, and it was going to be done in the draft, international trades, et cetera. So, you know, I think a lot of people look at that and they try to compare the two seasons. It's honestly night and day, just because, you know, I think from you know, that's really what the last 4 or 5 years has been about. And these pieces now are like designed to go with a team that's already been one of the more successful teams in baseball last year to try to help us get further than where we ended up last year and get better. Whereas there, we were trying to kind of jumpstart something that, you know, had not been, you know, they had not been successful for a while. So it was, you know, two different situations, honestly.
Let me ask you this. When you made that trade with Chicago to get Fernando Tatis Jr. over, did you have any idea what kind of player you were getting?
Yeah, we did. I mean, our staff felt like, you know, they felt like, honestly, he was a guy with big upside, big talent. He could be a game changer for the organization. You know, they felt like that was the potential. You know, our staff, Pete DeYoung on the pro scouting side, he's our director of pro scouting. He had done a great job. We had some history with Fernando from his amateur days. So we had seen him, you know, from when he's 14, 15, 16 years old. So we had an idea about what, you know, what he could be. And then I think what we did was we passed that on to our pro scouting department led by Pete, had some different guys go in there and take looks, Nick Ennis, some other guys. And they came back and said, look, this guy hasn't played a professional game yet. So obviously, you know, you're projecting. But that's, you know, that's ultimately what we ask our scouts to do. And, you know, they said, look, in terms of every box you want to check from an ability standpoint and an instincts and the way he played the game standpoint with excitement, that was there. You know, even though he was playing, you know, extended spring training games on a backfield in Arizona, that was there. You know, to predict and say, hey, is he going to be a top five player in the game or a potential MVP? You know, obviously that's, you never really know that when you draft somebody or, you know, or trade for somebody. But he was a guy that our scouts had indicated was a high impact player that could be somebody that could get this thing turned around. So that was the evaluation that our group had on him.
So staying on the subject of acquiring players, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, two guys that you went out and got to really build your staff around. Obviously, you have Clevinger on the DL. He'll be back next year, hopefully, and you guys are going to be loaded there. But as far as Blake Snell goes, how available was he? Is this someone you had your eyes on, you were in talks with, or did this have something honestly to do with the postseason and him being pulled early? Do you think that played into anything with the chemistry between him and management in Tampa Bay to part ways, or is that something you just don't even know? Or, you know, I don't know. I'm just being curious about that.
Yeah, I don't really know, you know, like exactly what the thinking was. I think for us, like when we started the offseason, you know, we knew, you know, with the Clevinger injury and Lamet not ending the year, you know, pitching for us, I think we had a couple of question marks that we wanted to fill. You know, and anytime you're talking about some of the best pitchers in the game, you know, Snell was one of those guys that was kind of at the top of our you know, possibility list going into the offseason. And then just naturally, you know, we had those conversations with Tampa. We've had, you know, we've made a couple of trades with Tampa the last few years. We did the Pagan-Margot deal last year, and then the Pham, Cronenworth for X Edwards and Renfro deals. So we have a good relationship with that, you know, with their front office. They're easy to talk to. And really just from the beginning, kind of as you make those calls, canvassing the league, he was the guy that we thought maybe, and I think more so not because of the postseason. I think it was just because, you know, he's getting to the, you know, he's got 3 years left on the contract. He's making a little bit more money. And, you know, Tampa, we know, like, ultimately they're going to continue to look for young, talented upside players. We knew they liked quite a few guys in our system. And I think it was more of a case of, you know, we had a player or a group of players, but especially with Luis Patino, that they had targeted for the last few years in some of our conversations. And ultimately, you know, we felt like Blake's a front of the rotation type talent that fit in really good with our current club, especially with a multiple year window that we're going to have him for. So, you know, I don't know how much the postseason played into them and their decision. But I do know from our early conversations, it felt like maybe, you know, this is something they may consider, but we knew it was going to be a hefty price. And, you know, ultimately, as we kept talking, you know, we lined up. And I think the biggest thing is when you have somebody that somebody wants and you have young talent, that's the greatest currency in the game today. And I think that's the reason why they ultimately got motivated to try to move him.
You mentioned that Blake Snell was on your guys' list of possible available players. How much of everything that's gone on this offseason was manifested a plan? It was a manifested plan as opposed to free agency has been really slow. The top domino, you can make the case, Trevor Bauer is being very patient in his process. How has that impacted how you guys went about your business this offseason? How has Trevor Bauer being patient and other pitchers, other free agents available, them being a little bit slow in the process, the unknowns of 2021, how did that impact your guys' decision-making this offseason?
Yeah, I think each year is different. Each market moves a little bit different every offseason. So I think last year, you know, everybody kind of got done right around the winter meetings, maybe even before, and it was kind of a flurry of activity then. So I think you have to kind of read that. I think for us, it was more a matter of, again, having young talent that team's valued, having depth in your system. So, you know, like, you know, we felt like ultimately, you know, we were trading from a position of strength, and we felt like, you know, we still have one of the best farm systems in the game. So I think that lined up in terms of like the time frame for it, you know, that's teams were ultimately, you know, kind of, it looks like kind of waiting for the market to establish itself, you know, and did that factor into our decision? I think it more so is just, we felt like we lined up with good trades that made sense for us. You know, and the timing of it kind of was the timing of it. So I don't, you know, I think from that standpoint, you know, a little bit of, in terms of the, you know, the planning and everything like that, I think we felt like because we're a competitive team with a deep farm system, we were going to have a lot of options. Maybe the slow market helped us move a little quicker than some other teams, and made us, you know, able to connect on those deals. But again, I think it was more so a matter of having talent that people wanted and a team and an ownership group that wanted to continue trying to build a championship club.
Yeah, I mean, you're loaded. I mean, you're talented. At what point are you comparing yourself to or measuring yourself next to LA, to the Dodgers? Because that's, in my opinion, obviously your biggest competition within the division. So, I know there's a lot of pressure there to beat them and to win the division and get back to the postseason, which possibly is going to be a regular structured postseason this year. So it's going to be a lot tougher to get in. At what point are you looking at lineups, looking at rotations and comparing them with LA?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, like I think too, you know, you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And the Dodgers are clearly the best team in our league, our division, and probably all of baseball. Obviously they were last year. So, you know, again, it's a big challenge. They've got a great organization. They're very well run. They've got phenomenal players, top to bottom, depth, quality, star guys. So I think that helps us because in a way, like, you know, it's again, like we're going to be battle tested. And I think, you know, when you know, it's just like anything, when you play against the best competition, whether that's the AL East from a lot of years with the Yankee Red Sox, you know, battles going back and forth, I think it raises your bar. You know, I'm sure you saw that, Will, when you were over there playing in those divisions. It helped, you know, it helps all the teams that are there. You know, I think our group it's a very talented team. They have a lot of fun, but I think what people don't see is those guys work really, really hard. Like our guys, and they love the game and they respect the game, you know? And I think for us, there's respect for really a lot of those teams in the National League. You know, the Braves and the Dodgers were the two teams that were at the end playing. So that was, again, like, I think what we've talked about is we've got to get better. You know, we weren't good enough last year. We've got to get better. And, you know, for us, the team in the division right in front of us, you know, that's a team that's a real good measuring stick, because if you can play with them, you pretty much can play with anybody in the game these days.
I think your offense was good enough. It was just your pitching was hurt, you know, and it came down to rotational depth with the structure of the postseason last year. And you clearly added a pitching depth. So I think you guys are going to be just fine.
Yeah. I think just like you said, I think we all would have loved to see what happens with Clevinger, with Lamet healthy, you know, and obviously at the end it was a scramble. I think it was a testament to the depth and quality of our staff that we were able to get through that Cardinal series and, you know, play a competitive series against the Dodgers. But ultimately, you know, I think what we've tried to do with the Musgrove deal, with some other moves we've had, some of the other young players coming up is, you know, if we do have an injury or two, which is, you know, usually unavoidable and, you know, disappointing, that we've got enough depth that we're not in a similar position next year. And you know, that's really, you know, part of the mindset behind some of the moves this offseason.
Can you provide any update on Denelson Lament? How's he feeling? Is his arm feeling better? Is he back throwing? Do we have any idea where he's at?
Yeah. You know, I saw him a couple of weeks ago in the Dominican. He was, you know, he's a workout warrior. He's a, you know, one of these, you know, 7 days a week, he gets after it. He pushes himself. You know, from a training standpoint, he was, you know, again, he's in a really good spot in terms of being ahead of probably even last year's pace, but everything they put in front of him so far, he's been, you know, his throwing program, you know, where his arm health is, he's been throwing bullpens. All of those so far have been good. I think he's actually put a few of them on the internet I've seen pop up in the last couple of days. But I think we're realistic. Like, you know, I think for us, it's going to be getting into spring training, you know, until he really is able to take the ball and throw it at a top effort in a game situation, come back, you know, and throw his bullpen, come back, throw 5 days later and just keep repeating that process. You know, I think we're going to see where it goes. But I think the good news is the doctors agree, the trainers agree that, you know, they feel like he's in a really good place. And so far his body and his off season has been very good. He's throwing bullpens and should be full go for spring training.
Good.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, be able to have a guy like Lamet as your number three, and then fast forward a year, maybe number four. that's a little ridiculous. Obviously, I mean, you guys would be sitting pretty on the pitching front. That's exciting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lamet is probably one of the most underrated guys in the game from last year. You know, I mean, if the season it kept going, they stay healthy, I think he would have gotten even more and more consideration for Cy Young type possibility. It's, you know, he's got the fastball slider combo that's devastating. His command continues to get better. He's a big time competitor. And again, I think what we've tried to do is, you know, like anything, every day when you open the paper, when you look at the matchups that day, we feel like we've got a guy that can win that ball game and can pitch in the front part of a rotation. So, you know, again, it's, you know, whether Lamet's the three or Paddock's the one or, you know, Snell is the two, ultimately it's like, you know, just let these guys go and compete against each other, honestly, and go out and put zeros on the board and every night have a chance to win a ball game. That's what we've tried to do.
So a report came out that the Cactus League has asked Major League Baseball to possibly delay the start of spring training. Have you heard anything differently in regards to when we should expect players to be reported?
No. Yeah, we've, you know, really, I think we're just kind of waiting to hear what happens from the league and the union and then obviously, you know, the local governments and the city. So I think from our standpoint, we did a really good job last year of being flexible and adapting and just being prepared for every possible scenario. I think we're in a similar boat this year. Unfortunately, I think it's, you know, a lot, you know, a lot of, you know, I think everybody, obviously this whole year has had to be flexible and be willing to make adjustments. And I know our group's going to be the same, and yeah, don't have any inside information. Just kind of waiting to hear, hey, what's the best thing for the game and for those towns and for, you know, for the individuals that are involved, and go from there with it.
Well, I could sit here and pick your brain all day, but I'll finish with one last one. Have we seen the last of moves for San Diego going into 2021? Are we saying, look, we got Ha-Sung Kim, we got Snell, we got Darvish Musgrove, we got a good enough team for 2021? Or can we see some more fireworks before opening day?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always, you know, I think you're always searching to make your team better and always considering different possibilities. I do think in general, like the conversation for us, I think we feel like we have, you know, we've improved the rotation. We want to improve the, I wouldn't even call it the bench. We just want to improve the depth and quality of our position player team with guys that we feel like are regular type guys, with a Ha-Sung Kim, Jurickson Profar, Victor Caratini. And now I think it's kind of sit back and see what presents itself. You know, I think we're kind of in that area. You know, I think for us, like really the focus is probably shifting a little bit more to get ready for spring training with the current group we have. But again, I think we'll be open-minded. I think the cool part has been like, we've had a lot of players here in the last couple of weeks reach out to us and just kind of say like, hey, this is a spot I'd love to be at. This is a spot, you know, cause like anything, players want to win, you know, they want to be part of something that's fun and, you know, exciting environment. They want to win. And I think they've, you know, again, it's nothing that, you know, it's really what the players have created. You know, they talk to each other and they talk to the Hosmers and the Machados and Tatis and on about what's the environment like when, and, you know, what's the coaching staff like, what's the city like. And, you know, we've had some guys reach out. So we'll be, you know, I think we'll be open-minded, kind of see what's there. And, but in general, we like our group and we're excited to go get started.
So I just have one more question. So we still don't know if we're going to have the DH in the NL. Obviously, that's a topic of conversation. How much does that change your bench? How much does that change your idea of building a lineup? I know you have the Hosmer, you have Will Myers, you have guys who can fill that role. Will it be, will you have just a DH, or is it kind of a revolving door based on matchups and who's hot and who's feeling good at the time?
Yeah, I think with our group, I mean, like, I think each team's a little bit different. I think with our group, like the way it's kind of played out is, I mean, we have a lot of athletic guys that have some versatility. So, you know, I think in general, like the true kind of DH masher, middle of the order bat, or, you know, I think we have a lot of guys that could fill that. I think we've looked at that DH spot. If it comes to play, we can get, especially in a 160 game season, we can get some of our main position guys a day off their feet, but still keep the bat in the lineup. I think the value of like Profar, Nola, Caratini, Cronenworth, Kim, these guys are shortstops originally, infielders originally, that, you know, switch hit bats, guys that can play different spots. So I think, again, we don't have to have that kind of set DH possibility. So I think we're good to go either way. You know, if the DH comes into play, you know, we'll have a bat that'll be representative from, you know, from a DH standpoint. But if not, we have some versatile players that can play both sides of the ball and do different things. So again, I think that's all part of what we try to do from a roster construction standpoint the last couple months.
Oh, I love what you said about it coming, you know, full circle, really, with players now wanting to play for San Diego, because that was not the case even 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So that's pretty great to hear. I know Padre fans are going to be absolutely psyched to hear that. We can't thank you enough. We know this is essentially the World Series for general managers and front office right now. This is crunch time. So we can't thank you enough for joining us today, AJ. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Special thank you to AJ Preller for joining us. And I'm just going to lay it out here first. Obviously, he's created a monster of a lineup, and then now he's created a monster of a starting rotation. But the question becomes this, and you kind of asked it, you touched on this to AJ. Are they ready to compete for an NL West title? They're good. They got a whole lot of talent. I would make the case they are ready to compete for an NL West title. Do you think the Padres are ready to knock off the Dodgers, have the changing of the guard? Are they ready right now?
Are they ready to compete, or do I think they're going to win the division? Is that which one are you asking? They definitely are ready to compete. I mean, they competed with them last year, and now they're even better. So yes, I think they have a very good chance to win the division. And there's a lot of hype around them too. This is something that people don't understand with players is, even if when I was with the Red Sox, even when the Yankees weren't like good, there was still hype around them. And you feel that as a player. Like, you go in there and there's like Jeter and Sabathia and Mariano and Pettit and these guys, you just see these names and you're like, ooh, all right, we're going to have to get after it today, boys, and beat these. You know what I mean? Like, the Dodgers feel that. They know they're not alone on the top of the mountain anymore as far as talent goes, because they were just outpaying everyone. That they had the money and they got the best talent, and that's how they were better. I mean, that's just how it works. Well, Padres are right there with them now. I think their rotation is better. I think their rotation will, especially with a healthy Lamet, he's going to be their number three, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what order. They'll probably have some crazy order they analytically will do to match up the start of the season. I don't know. But, like, Lamet is their number three. And then you fast forward to 2022. Clevinger's back. Is Lamet your number four? They're insane. And then they're going to have, the young kids coming up with Gore and those guys. And they're good. With their lineup's good. But Tatis, Hosmer. Oh, don't forget they have Manny Machado. He's starting to get overshadowed because Tatis is insane.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good. Don't even sleep on like guys like Tommy Pham and Will Meyer. Will Myers had a really good year last year. Does he continue that? They're going to be a really, really dangerous team.
As of right now, I think they're a better team than the Dodgers. However,
yeah, the Dodgers have a lot of question marks.
So that's where I'm getting at. Okay. We don't know what we're going to get out of Kenley Jansen. They did do a good job of shoring up their bullpen. They brought back Trinan, brought over Cork Nabel.
Yeah.
But where they lost, where they had big losses, is their depth. The Dodgers, for the last however many division titles they've won, they were really known for their depth. Not only in pitching, but lineup-wise, they really rely on matchups. They lost Kike. They don't know if they're going to have Justin Turner back. And Jock Peterson is likely going to go elsewhere. He could come back.
That's true. These are leaders. These are not just like numbers that are being put up. Like, these are leaders in a clubhouse that shape the chemistry of a team and the makeup of a team. So that it goes beyond what they do on the field.
And so for that reason, I think the Padres are better right now. However, one trade for Arenado or one trade for one big
they're going to do something. They're going to do something because they're the Dodgers. And they, just like I asked AJ, are you paying attention to what the Dodgers are doing? The Dodgers are definitely paying attention to the Padres because the whole baseball world is. So I'm fired up, man. I can't wait for this season to get going.
The Padres haven't earned the right to call it a rivalry yet, but these are how rivalries
start. There were some fireworks last year now.
There were
some fireworks last year. I know I just said it, but I'm so excited. Not just for NL West games, but like have a full season of baseball. Start to get some fans back in the stands. Get like normalcy. $47 beers at the park. I'm excited to just get back to baseball, man. This offseason has felt so long because we didn't have a regular season last year. So the offseason is just dragging by, and there's still a lot of question marks. We hit on the DH. We hit on the delayed start. Let's just get it going. Let's start tomorrow.
Well, let's kick it in the action starting after today. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
All right. Sounds good, bud. I'm in.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We'll be back with you next Wednesday. Adios.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.